before we go any further into the Lord's word, and let's seek the Lord for his word, and let's seek his blessing and his anointing upon his word, and let's commit everything unto God. Our dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for being able, Lord, to come into this tabernacle, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we're able to sit around your table, Lord, and sing your praises and give remembrance, Lord, the remembrance of the Lamb of God who took away our sins. We're washed in the blood of the Lamb. And we come to your word now, the word of the Lamb, and we look to you, Lord. Have your way today, Lord. In this meeting, Lord, let your name be high and lifted up and glorified. Edify your people, Lord, and let all flesh be hid. We ask it, Lord, in your wonderful name. Amen. Part two of physical and spiritual warfare. We did part one last week, and we discussed, and the topic was physical and spiritual warfare leading to physical and spiritual exhaustion. And you are maybe going into that season this morning and you don't know it. You may be in the season this morning. You've maybe come out of that season and you're looking back and you've learned a lot from it. There's lessons to be learned in those seasons. There's lessons to be learned in your valleys as well as your mountain tops. But God is God in both. God is God in both. And we looked at Genesis chapter 36, and we'll just turn to it. Genesis 36, and we looked at the verse 12. And Moses is on the mountaintop with Aaron and Hur, and Joshua is in the valley fighting. So there's a physical battle, there's a spiritual battle, but who are they fighting? It's good to know your enemies. And in Genesis chapter 36 and verse 12, it says this about the Amalekites and Amalek. And Timnah was concubine to Eliphaz and Esau's son. And she bare Eliphaz, Amalek. These were the sons of Ada, Esau's wife. And if you want to go back further to Genesis 25, Genesis 25, and the verse 30. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. Edomites, Amalekites, and this is who you have now in the valley of Rephidim. It's good to know your enemies. And we said Rephidim was the 11th stop of Israel when they came out of Egypt, coming out of the wilderness journeys, meaning disorder, chaos, incompleteness, but also valor. We looked at what God said about to do to the Amalekites. We looked in Deuteronomy 25 when he said, I haven't forgot them. I remember what they did when they attacked you from the Most High side. They attacked the weak. They attacked the stragglers. He left it up to Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 15. Samuel tells Saul what God says, and Saul doesn't carry out the orders. What meaneth thee the bleeding of the sheep? And it's that serious that Saul loses his throne. He's dethroned because he didn't do what God said, and that's a lesson in itself. Make sure you do what God tells you to do, whether you like it or not. And be careful when you ask him, because you might not get the answer that you want. God is God. God will do as he pleases. God is sovereign. It's God's church. Yeshua, Joshua in the valley, meaning God is my salvation. Joshua fighting in the valley. Moses and Aaron and Hur doing the spiritual prayer meeting on the hilltop, the physical and the spiritual. In verse 8, the attack straight after a blessing. There's a lesson in itself. Joshua, meaning Yeshua, God our salvation, In verse 10, we had unity. In verse 11, the commanded blessing by God and unity. We looked at Psalm 133. When there is unity, God commands a blessing. So keep your church united is the lesson in that one. But we'll resume in Exodus 17 and verse 12. And we'll go to verse 12. Exodus 17. But Moses' hands were heavy and they took a stone. They took a stone. They said his hands are heavy. But they took a rock. But Moses' hands were heavy and they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Moses is sitting on the rock. He's on the hill. It says his hands were heavy. His brothers got either side of him. One hand up, the other hand with the rod of God. And he's sitting on the rock, Christ Jesus. And when you're in your valleys, and when you're in your mountaintops, it doesn't matter where you are. Sit on the rock and keep your eyes on Christ. You say to me, how do you deal with your valleys? You sit on the rock and you keep your eyes on Christ. He's still God. You might be in a valley, he's still God. You might be in a mountaintop, he's still God. It doesn't matter where you are. He is God. He is sovereign. He knows where you are. God knows all things. And it says in the scriptures that his eyes go to and fro in the earth. Nothing's hid from God. God knows all things. They took a stone. They set it under Moses. He's now resting on the rock. His hands high and lifted up. He's strengthened by his brothers. The God of rod in his hand. The battle in the valley. The physical battle in the valley. But there's a prayer meeting on the hill. Psalm 27. Psalm 27. What does David say about God? What does David say as his strength? Psalm 27 and verse 1. David declares this. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Question. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Christ is my strength. You need strengthened this morning. Rest on the rock. Hold the rod of God. Keep your eyes on Christ. He is my strength. In the verse 5, what does he say? For in the time of trouble. Are you in trouble this morning? Is there trouble at your door? Here's what David says from his experience. For in time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. Where's that, David? It's the center of his kingdom. I'm not only in the kingdom, I'm in the center of his kingdom. And I'm his guest. That's what David is saying. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Seated on a rock this morning. You want to sit on any rock. You sit on Christ the rock. You sit on the rock that Moses sat on the hill. And you be careful who's at your side. You be careful. Moses had Aaron and Hur at his side. Steadfast brothers that he could rely on. Brothers who cared. Brothers who lifted him up. And they sat him on a rock until the sun went down. Be careful. Be careful who is at your side. Be careful who is in your ear. That's the lesson from that. You want brothers and sisters who will strengthen you. You want brothers and sisters who will encourage you. You want brothers and sisters who will carry you through this life.
But most of all, you need God. You need Christ. In verse 13 of Exodus 17, what does it say? In verse 13, and Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Discomfited. He didn't go and have a chat. He didn't go and say, we'll have a coffee and we'll talk about it. And sure, you go your way and I'll go my way. And sure, it'll all be all right. Let's reason about it. They weren't told to reason with the Amalekites. They were told to remove them from under the sun. God said that. God said that. And discomfited means weakened and disabled. Now the enemy is weak. Now the enemy is disabled. Not God's people. Why? Because Joshua's fighting the physical battle. Moses is praying. But God declares the result. God declares the outcome. In between this, it's Christ. You can fight all you want. You can struggle all you want. You can go to the prayer closet all you want. But unless Christ is the center of it all, it'll all be for naught. All for naught unless Christ is the center of it all. It says in verse 13, and Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Victory. Now the enemy is weakened. Now the enemy is disabled through faith. It's faith, brother. It's faith, sister. It's faith in Christ that matters. When the rubber hits the road, do you have faith? Do you have faith that Christ is in control? Do you have faith that you're going to come through it? Do you have faith that the blood speaks? The blood says, I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The blood says, I am in the center of his kingdom. The blood says, I am going to glory. Jerusalem, the new heaven and the new earth. The blood says, I will rule and reign with Christ. The blood speaks. The blood says, I am yours and you are mine. He is in me. I am in Christ, filled with the Holy Ghost. And there's no valley can change it. None, not one. There's not a problem that he can't meet. There's not a health concern he can't heal. Seeking the baptism of the Spirit, keep seeking and keep seeking till he sets you on fire. The fruits and the gifts. He's wonderful. David said, Christ is my strength. David said, it's all about Christ. Are you trying to get through a situation this morning on your own strength? Just stop. Don't do it. Don't even start. It's Christ you need. It's a supernatural strength for your supernatural spiritual warfare. That's what you need in those situations. In verse 14, and the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial on a book, a memorial, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. God means business. He's not mucking about. He says, I will utterly remove Amalek for what he has done. I saw him sneaking up from the rear, smiting my people. God says he's a card and I'll deal with him. You leave your enemies to God. He can deal with them better than you can. He can deal with them better than you can. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under the sun. Write it down, Moses. There's your history.
Moses, write it down. Rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, Moses. Why? Because Joshua's going to need it. Joshua's going to need strength in what's coming ahead for him. Rehearse it in his ears. Joshua, do you remember Rephidim? Joshua, do you remember in the valley? Do you remember, Joshua, when you were fighting and I was praying? And do you remember the Lord gave us the victory? Do you remember it? Do you remember it? Over and over. Because he's going to need it as he goes forward. History to your children. Tell your children about the memorials across these aisles. Tell your children about the memorials across Europe. Tell your children about the memorials across America. How Jesus won the victory. Don't hide it. Tell them. What's this memorial, Daddy? Aye, that's the World War I when Christ gave us a victory. That's the World War II. That's the Somme. Tell your children their history. We have a rich history. We have a rich history. You're being told now to shut up and don't talk about it. God gave us the victory over and over and over again. We have a right. We have a rich history. Tell your children, tell your grandchildren about these aisles. And tell your children, who is our God? He is Yeshua. That's who he is. In verse 15, and Moses built an altar. There's your memorial. Moses wasn't afraid to build a memorial. Moses built it. Moses built a memorial. Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. He called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. He built an altar. He built an ensign onto the banner who won the victory. He built a memorial onto our ensign. Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 11 and the verse 10. What does Isaiah prophesy? What does Isaiah say about an exodus that we will all be part of? What does Isaiah say about an ensign? Isaiah prophesies in Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 10. Listen to the prophecy of Isaiah, God's word. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse. That's Christ the Messiah. There shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, and it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. My rest is in Christ. My rest will be glorious. My rest will be victorious. It will be in the root of Jesse, my strength, my God, Yeshua, the God of these isles, unto the Gentiles. God's people might have forgotten who they are, but he knows where you are. He knows where you are. He hasn't lost his people. Not one will he lose who the Father gives him. In verse 12, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, from Egypt, and from Pathros, and from Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. That's my God. That's Yeshua. That's my ensign. He knows where I am. Pathos is ancient Greece. Kush is Ethiopian Sudan. Elam is Iran. Shinar is Iraq. Hamath is Syria. The Isles of the United Kingdom. He knows where I am. Isaiah prophesies it. He knows. Our ensign. He knows. He is my God. In verse 12, and he shall set an ensign for the nations, and he shall and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel. There's your two kingdoms, northern and southern kingdom. Ah, they were never scattered. Well, God says they were. It's in his book. He knows. He knows where we are. In verse 12, and he shall set an ensign for the nations. He is our banner, Jehovah Nissi, who we gather around in the battle in the valleys. If you're in a valley, and even if you're in a mountaintop, you want to gather around Jehovah Nissi, your ensign and your banner. You want to win the battle in the valley. You gather around Jehovah Nissi. My ensign, my banner. When they're fighting in the battles, what do they look for? Where's our ensign? Where's the banner? And somebody dies and it drops. Somebody comes along and picks it up and lifts it. And then he gets dazed and he drops too. And somebody picks it up and lifts it. And we'll keep lifting the banner and the ensign of Yeshua until he come. Until he come. And he shall set an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah. They weren't dispersed. Well, God says they were. So somebody's wrong, and God's never wrong. Thy word is truth, is it not? It's either the whole book or nothing. You can't nitpick it. You might not like it, but you can't nitpick it. You can't nitpick God's word. Take it in the whole and chew it and digest it. Chew it up. And he shall set an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Verse 15. Let's go to verse 13. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim, but they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hand, listen, upon Edom. He'll put his hand upon Edom and Moab. And you can reference Moab in Genesis 19 after Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot lay with his two daughters. They got him drunk. And the son was born and he was called Moab. That's the Moabites. And it says here in this verse, but they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west. They shall spoil them of the east. Together they shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. You see, this Exodus, you're not going to have an enemy. This Exodus is an Exodus under Christ. This Exodus is an Exodus under Yeshua. And all of his enemies, and all of our enemies, will be under his feet. There'll be no attacking in this Exodus. There'll be none.
There'll be no attacking in this Exodus. Verse 15. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea. Does it sound familiar? Here we go. What does he say? The prophecy of Isaiah. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea. With his mighty hand shall he shake the hand over the river, and so smite it in seven streams, and make men to go over dry shod. I'll shake my hands, and your enemies will be gone, and it'll be an exodus unto me, an exodus unto God. And verse 16, and there shall be an highway. The waymaker will make a highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was in what? Like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of Egypt. There's your Exodus. And I'm going to be in it, and so are you. And there'll be no Edomites. And there'll be no Amalekites. And he'll shake his hand over the earth, and he'll gather his people on himself. Are you ready for your Exodus? That's the new world order, by the way. There's too much talk about the new world order and Satan and governments. Yes, you need to know. The new world order that's going to rule will be Christ. He'll set it up. He'll rule the nations. He'll raise an ensign unto his people, and he'll shake his hands over the earth, and he'll gather his own. That's the order I'm waiting on. Are you waiting on the new world order? Christ is the new world order. Christ will have order in the new heaven and the new earth, in the new Jerusalem. And better still, are you ready to rule and reign? Are you ready? Because you're gonna. Exodus. Exodus 17. My Exodus will be glorious. Your Exodus will be glorious. Christ said it himself. Christ said, your Exodus will be glorious. He's a wonderful Savior. He's a wonderful God. When he gathers his people unto himself, what a Savior, what a God, what a Lord. Are you in your valley this morning? Are you in your valley this morning? Have you entered this tabernacle this morning? Have you entered into this tabernacle and you're down in your boots? Have you entered into this tabernacle this morning and you can't find a way out? Have you entered this tabernacle this morning with issues? You're feeling down. You're feeling low. You're feeling as if you have nowhere to go. I have two more verses for you. In Isaiah 49. And verse 12. And I want to encourage you this morning. And I want you to dig in. And I want you this morning to trust in Jesus. If it's a health issue, if it's for family, if it's for friends, if it's for yourself, I want you to listen to what Isaiah says in Isaiah 49 and the verse 13. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. He comforts, he has mercy upon the afflicted. And that word mountain, it says, and break forth into singing, O mountain. Mountain means in the scriptures where heaven meets earth. And this tabernacle is a mountain this morning because heaven and earth have met. And he says, I have mercy. I have compassion. And he says, I know where you are. In the mountain, meeting with God. And in verse 16, listen to what he says. God knows all about it. God knows your situation. God knows your spiritual, your physical battles. He knows your valleys. He knows your hilltops. He knows where you are. He says, meet me in the mountain. But in verse 16 of Isaiah 49, he says this. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thank you, Jesus. I meet him in the mountain and he comes to meet me and he says, look, I know, I care, I've graven you in the palms of my hands. He's talking about the cross work of Christ. And what does he say in the rest of the verse? Thy walls are continually before me. Thy walls, your safety, your situation, your strength. Your walls are weak this morning. Your walls are crumbling. But he says, meet me in the mountain. Your name is on the palms of my hands, and I will strengthen your walls. When you're spiritually, when you're in your valley, Christ is my salvation. Christ is my rock. He says he meets me in the mountain. This is his mountain this morning. He says, your name is in the palm of my hands. And he says, your walls. I see your walls. And he says, I will strengthen your walls. God bless you all this morning. I hope it was an encouragement. Dig in. You struggling this morning? Dig in. Get beside the ensign and dig in. God bless you.